All right, folks, it's time for us as believers to get serious about the Word of God. We got to get in the Bible because we need answers for what's going on, especially for us who live in America. I believe that this should not be something that is confounding to us. We should not be sitting around scratching our head wondering why we are seeing such calamities, disasters, upheaval, corruption, and a complete meltdown of society, especially, again, here in America. I believe when we get into the Word of God and we really study the Scriptures, it becomes very evident, in my opinion, that the hand of God's protection is slowly, and I'm saying the hand of God's protection and favor is slowly being lifted off of our nation. And when this happens, it opens us up wide open for everything imaginable, everything from disasters, calamities, war from without and from within, confusion, madness, droughts, famines, economic downturns, a collapse, if you would. All of this is a direct derivative of the disobedience of a nation turning its back on God. We're going to show you today examples of how this is happening and give a strong warning about what could be next and what's coming down the pike. So let's do it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's October 15, 2024, and we want to welcome everybody back. For many of you guys, if you were here this morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, we gave you a quick report about something that we thought was significant to get to you and get that information out to you. So this is our main show where we get everybody on here at night. We come together as a body of believers, and we bring you the most important news of the day. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And guys, before we go forward with tonight's message, can you do me a favor? As always, help us get the word out. And you can simply take just a second to do this and hit that like button, and that's going to push us out there. And so our videos and our messages can be seen on these algorithms. If you guys are listening by Apple or Spotify, we welcome you. And do us a favor, if you love our content, give us a good review. And this helps us out on these podcast platforms as well. And so we've got a lot to talk about tonight. And as I open this up with at the beginning of this in the introduction, I believe the days, guys, of us sitting around scratching our head trying to figure out why things are happening are over. Listen, if you don't understand this by now, I believe that we're running out of time to take you back to elementary. This is not elementary principles tonight. We're in the big leagues tonight talking about stuff that most churches don't touch on. They don't discuss this stuff because it's very taboo. It has a negative connotation on it. And let's just face it, messages like what I'm going to deliver to you tonight, they don't bring in big offerings because it's not ear tickling, but it is a warning. As a watchman, I feel obligated to bring you a message with the content that we're and the connotation in which we're bringing it here tonight. In the Bible, the Word of God clearly tells us that God puts His hand of blessing and protection upon any nation that will obey Him, heed His commandments, obey His statutes, and walk in His will and His ways. when they do this, based on Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 26, as a result of this, God says, I will bless you in every avenue of your life. Every sector of your life will be blessed. You'll be blessed in the city and in the field and in the country. You'll be blessed coming in. You'll be blessed going out. Everything you lay your hands to do shall prosper. He says these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. He says, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you above and not beneath. I'll make you a lender and not a borrower. Come on. The favor of God will reside on you, and nations will look upon you and they'll know. And it will be evident that God's favor and blessing is upon you. And it's, again, this doesn't just pertain to the nation of Israel, guys. The Bible says, blessed is the nation who makes the Lord their God, but the nations who turn from God will be turned to hell. You can go in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, and it specifically tells you that on the day of judgment, when God begins to separate nations, there will be sheep nations and goat nations. The sheep nations are those who obey God. They walked in his statutes, in his will, and in his ways. They feared him. They reverenced him. They helped the poor, helped the needy, helped the widow, helped the orphans. They did all these things. But the goat nations will be those nations who did the opposite of all that. They disobeyed God. They turned to abominations. They embraced idol worship. They turned to false gods. They turned to idolatry. They practiced those things that are deserving of the wrath of God. Read Romans chapter 1. It talks about this in detail. They stored up themselves judgment, and it will come. And the Bible says those nations will be brought into judgment. And I believe these same nations will also be those nations that will be gathered together. This is, you can find this in Joel chapter 3. They will also, their hands will be guilty of dividing Israel, howbeit Jerusalem. And the prophet Joel says, because they have divided my land, I also will divide them. And they will be brought to a place called Megiddo, where they'll be judged in a war called Armageddon. That's at the very end of the last book of your Bible in the New Testament, called the Book of Revelation. So I don't know how much plainer we can make this. Even in, and you can go to, I can take you to the Gospel of Matthew again and show you where Jesus pronounced judgment on three cities. He says, woe unto you, Bethsaida, woe unto you, Chorazin, and woe unto you, Capernaum. And he talks about, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. Why? Because, again, they rejected the gospel. They rejected Christ. They embraced these things that God was a, the, your Bible says that God is a jealous God. Have no other gods before me. There's, and I'm going to show you today in detail about this. So when God's hand of blessing and protection was removed from a nation, it was often due to, again, disobedience, idolatry, and rejection of his covenant. These are the three main factors: disobedience, idolatry, and rejection of his covenant. And I'm going to show you, let's break this down real quick. For example, idolatry. One of the primary reasons God's protection was lifted was when they began to worship false gods. When, for example, when Israel and other surrounding nations turned to idols, God withdrew his blessing. When the Israelites worshiped the golden calf while Moses was on Mount Sinai getting the commandments from the Lord, it aroused God's anger against them, Exodus 32, and they were judged. When the covenant is broken, God made a series of covenants with the Israelites, promising blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Again, you can find this in reference in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. When the Israelites violated these covenants by neglecting God's laws or turning away from his commandments, they inevitably experienced God's favor be lifted from their nation. And this would come as a direct result of this. Watch this. They would see an invasion by their enemies. They would experience famine, disasters, and calamities. You can go read all that in Deuteronomy 28. And again, this pertains not just to Israel, but any nation. When nations begin to exploit the poor, practice deceit, allow corruption to flourish, allow injustice and oppression to vex the people, this as well would lift God's hand of favor and blessing. Also, when nations and leaders begin to trust in their own strength, their own ability, their own military, their own governments, and their own wealth, rather than relying on God, you know what happened? God just lifted his hand, lifted his favor, and said, you want to put your trust in your military, put your trust in your own strength, put your own trust in your own wealth, then you're going to find out where that's going to lead you. You can find, go to 2 Chronicles 26. It was as a result of King Uzziah's own pride, it led to his downfall when he tried to usurp his priestly role, resulting in God striking him with leprosy. You saw this with King Saul. When King Saul became king of Israel, he became proudful and he began to disobey directly God's commandments. And as a result, God's anointing and favor lifted off of him. And in the end, it resulted in very bad things happening. As nations and their kings, listen to me, continue to be persistent in sin and refuse to repent, as a result, God will continually, listen to this, God will continually send them prophets to warn nations and their leaders to turn them from their sinful ways. But if they refuse to listen, God will always allow their enemies to conquer them. And you, again, you can find this all through the Bible. I can take you to the Babylonian exile. We can take you to the Roman invasion. All of these things, these are great examples of this as well. Now, this first 13 to 15 minutes of this was to build a foundation upon which we're going to go from this point forward. Because now we're going to pull up articles, we're going to show you some videos, and I'm going to show you how civilization is so blatant. They're so prideful, they're arrogant, they're blasphemers, and we're going to a whole other level. And I'll never forget, Billy Graham once made the statement, if God does not judge America, he will have to personally apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So I want to say something that's very controversial here. America is ripe for far greater judgment than what we've seen. And I believe we've seen the hand of judgment. I believe this year has been this. I'm going to throw this out there. This may ruffle some feathers, but all of the disasters we just saw unfold in America in the last month or month and a half, I know people like to point to the government doing this or other nefarious entities that are creating storms and disasters. But listen, I hate to break the news to you, but not every disaster, not every hurricane, every tornado, and every a natural disaster is the work of man. Now, there's some even professed Christians that has bought into this, that they believe that every earthquake is manufactured, every hurricane is manufactured, every tornado is manufactured. Now, look, before you get your feathers ruffled, I'm not saying that the governments of the world do not they do not possess the technology, the equipment, and the ability to create things like this, because they do. It's there. We did articles on this. We talked about this. So I'm not denying it. But I'm also telling you today, friends, that if you get to a point where you credit every disaster to the work of man, you just might be, you may just be overlooking, or there may be some oversight to come on something that's on a far greater severity. And that is that, could it be possible? I'm just saying, could it be possible that a lot of these storms, a lot of these disasters, a lot of these calamities, a lot of these famines and droughts and et cetera, are not manufactured by man, but are the direct result of God's blessing and favor being lifted off of nations and him allowing these disasters to partake in forms of selective judgments. That's what I'm saying here tonight. And if you want to know, you say, well, Brother Ricky, what in the world could bring such a thing upon a nation? I'm glad you asked, because that is what I want to show you tonight. All right, look at this article. First article right here. This is from the Daily Wire. Fleetwood Mac's Stevie Nicks. Do I got anybody that's probably 40 years of age or older? You're going to know who Fleetwood Mac is. I'm just saying, you're going to know who they are. You're going to know who Stevie Nicks is, more than likely. If you were not, if you're like me, you was not raised in the church. Come on, you wasn't raised in a church environment. You knew the 80s bands, the 90s bands, the late 70s bands. You know who Fleetwood Mac is. You know who Stevie Nicks is. Look at this disgusting statements that's made here. Quote, Stevie Nicks says her new pro-abortion song may be the most important thing she has ever done or ever will do. Let me say that again. At 76 years of age, Stevie Nicks says that her new pro-abortion song, she made a song, guys, about taking the life of the innocent, of shedding innocent blood. Let that resonate in your mind right now. Let that soak in. Think about that for a second. This individual is standing up on a platform saying, number one, that she made a song about taking the life of the of an innocent child from its mother, shedding of blood. Proverbs 6 is what God calls this. And by the way, it's one of the six things, yea, even seven things God says I hate. It's an abomination. It brings judgment. Shedding of innocent blood brings judgment. Read Revelation. And Stevie Nicks says, this song right here may be the most important thing that she will ever do. Let's read a little bit of this. Fleetwood Mac singer Stevie Nicks is proudly promoting her new pro-abortion song, saying it could be the most important single she's ever written. The 76-year-old musician, and that's sad in itself, because she's at the fourth quarter of her life. There's no way, guys. I fear God too much to be in the fourth quarter of my life, 76 years old, and to make a statement like this. This is scary stuff. I'm just saying, 76 years old, she released The Lighthouse, representing her first solo single in 4 years. Nick said she wrote the song following the Supreme Court decision in 2022, which overturned Roe v. Wade and the constitutional right to abortion. Quote, I find it very sad at 76 years old, I had to see Roe v. Wade taken away. Sad that Roe v. Wade was taken away. Nick's told People in an email interview 2 years ago, when I realized the consequences of women's rights that are vanishing. I watched a lot of news and I was like a sponge. It just went into me. Oh, yes, I'm sure it did. The mainstream media loves when somebody says you're a sponge and you just take all of the propaganda right in. Quote, one morning I woke up, which I never write when I wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden went, quote, I have my scars, So I just grabbed my notebook and I started writing the whole thing. She continued, quote, it was a long form poem and I didn't know what kind of song that would be. I found an instrumental that I loved and within 2 or 3 days, I had recorded the song. I never redid the vocal. It's original vocal and it's taken me 2 years. She went on to discuss the many people in the music industry, including Sheryl Crow, who helped develop the song over the past 2 years until Nick's deemed it perfect enough to release. Puke, puke. That, all this saddens me because I used to love Sheryl Crow. Can I get in the flesh just for a second? Y'all pray for Brother Ricky. I'm just saying, back in the 90s, guys, I wasn't saved. So y'all got to cut me some slack. This was before Christ days. I had a huge crush on Sheryl Crow. But now that I'm saved and I read this, this is such a letdown. This is so sad. So Sheryl Crow, if you're a Sheryl Crow fan, she was involved in this. Quote, all the stories that we tell about the necessity for women's health care and the necessity for a safe and, quote, legal abortion option for women is absolutely necessary. Quote, it seemed like overnight people were saying, what can we as a collective force do about this? For me, it was to write a song, she shared on X. Quote, I have often said to myself, this may be the, quote, most important thing I ever do, to stand up for the women of the United States and their daughters and granddaughters. Hello? This is what blows my mind. If they would have listened to somebody like you, there would be no daughters or granddaughters because they would have never been born, dummy. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. And she wants this song about shedding of innocent blood to be a, quote, anthem. Like we need an anthem. Speaking of anthems, and guys, just forewarning you, viewer discretion, listener discretion, if this stuff offends you and you have a weak stomach or you can't tolerate this, this may not be the podcast for you. But this, again, viewer discretion, listener discretion. This is something that you need to know about if you're willing to accept it, because you want to know, again, you want to know why these things are happening in America. You want to know why the calamities, why the disasters. Why the political upheaval? Why the people are just unraveling at the seat? Lawlessness is abounding. Evil is abounding. Wickedness is abounding. The godless things are just overtaking, it seems like, righteousness. Well, remember, as it were in the days of Noah, Luke 17, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. And the Bible says the whole earth was filled with violence. It was filled with wickedness. Again, speaking of anthems, so you've got the lead singer Fleetwood Mac that says she wants her abortion song to be an anthem in this generation. Here is Billie Eilish saying, quote, her new song called Lunch, she wants this to be a, quote, lesbian anthem. A lesbian anthem. Claiming that, quote, she's been in love with girls her whole life. Again, no shame, pride, arrogance, abomination. Remember, go read in the Bible where this in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the sins of Sodom. They were full of pride. They committed abominations. And there's no fear of God. And this is openly happening all around the world, guys. We're seeing this. And these are just celebrities that have platforms that are just openly promoting this stuff. By the way, if you didn't know who Billie Eilish is, this is her on the left of your screen. Again, this is a musician. A lot of you probably won't even know who this is, and that's okay. You're not missing anything. But nevertheless, guys, the lyrics to this quote-unquote lesbian anthem is so vile and disgusting that I am not even going to recite them. I'm not going to repeat them. But here, now think about this. You have an anthem for abortion. You have an anthem for homosexuality. This is only two examples of what we're talking about today. Then you had this report about Disney. I know this is going to be real shocking to you that it's Disney, But now they've come under fire over a, quote, raunchy show where characters joke about homosexual acts. I've got to be careful how I word this. Disney has come under fire over a theme park show that it says is suitable for all ages. Look at this. It's suitable for all ages. Think about this. All ages. Little children can come and watch this, quote, show at the theme park. Even though it is littered with raunchy jokes about its characters using gay dating app Grindr and making references to having relations with one another. This is at this show that, again, is available to all ages. It's called Storytime with Deadpool. The show plays a Disney's California Adventure Park. I know that's it's so shocking, isn't it, that it's Disney and that it's in California. It is based on the Deadpool and Wolverine movie, which is streaming platforms last week and is the highest ever domesticated debut for an R-rated film. It's absolutely disgusting. It stars Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman as anti-heroes who reluctantly team up to save the universe. Although they are characters from Marvel Comics and wear colorful costumes, it is anything but a children's film as it features F-bombs, again, all ages, but it features F-bombs aplenty, repeated references to hardcore relation acts, and jokes about taking cocaine. Can you imagine? I got to pull this away for a second. Could you imagine bringing your children, 5 years of age, six, seven, eight, bringing them to Disney theme park? There's a play, a live play going on. After all, it's Marvel, and kids love Marvel. They love superheroes. And here you are, and you're there, and you're sitting there watching this while these characters are dropping F-bombs, making references to acts of things that I can't even talk about here, homosexual acts. All this is happening right in front of your child. Here's a one individual went to X and said, quote, Deadpool's now at Disneyland Resort making jokes about Tony Stark's having profile on gay hookup app Grindr. What a fascinating convo that would be to explain to Walt. And he's talking about Walt Disney. And he says, quote, what are you doing? Again, in other words, he's referencing the downfall of this very thing that Walt Disney founded. Guys, he would never go for this. Again, the show seems to theme park workers. The show sees two theme park workers dressed as Deadpool and Wolverine cracking adult jokes despite being described on the Disneyland app as a, quote, family friendly and suitable for all ages. Shame on you, Disney. Shame on you. And one wisecrack Deadpool says he has been on gay dating app Grindr and has seen the profile of Tony Stark, the billionaire alter ego of Iron Man played by Robert Downey Jr. And another, Deadpool volunteers to quote, pound a good-looking coworker. An even more smutty segment sees Deadpool refer to Wolverine as the, quote, bottom, a euphemism for a role in a gay relationship. The Disneyland app says the Deadpool's tales will delight, charm, and inspire, but not all theme park fans agree. Again, guys, this is absolutely despicable, but this is the agenda of Disney. Make no doubts about it. Disney has not even tried to hide this anymore. They are literally, this is their agenda. Listen, if you've got the Disney Plus app, you need to delete it yesterday. Why are you supporting this? They are openly coming after your children. Why else would they make this suitable to all ages? Because they want to influence your children. They want your children to be exposed to this. Speaking of that, speaking of being exposed to something, all right, this is from the dailymail.com. If I don't know if you even believe this story I'm about to tell you. I'm going to read the headline. Meet the female Jesus in lesbian opera. So graphic, audience members needed medical treatment as she describes the thrill of dangerous stunts, including setting herself on fire. Again, This was a lie play of a female that was a lesbian portraying Jesus Christ on the stage. It was an opera. And it was so graphic in nature that audience members needed medical treatment. Again, I know you guys are on Apple and Spotify, and I'm sure it's very annoying that we mute out words, but we have to keep this up on the platform, or they'll flag it and take it down. The actress who stars in a controversial new opera as Jesus Christ has described thrill she gets from performing dangerous stunts and taking to the stage in her birthday suit. She plays an there's no point. I mean, it's irrelevant to name her name, but she plays an unconventional version of the Messiah, characterized as a homeless drug addict. Just so much blasphemy. Isn't this disgusting? It's a lesbian woman playing a homeless drug addict as Jesus. And she takes a secondary role as a Adam and Sancta. The almost 3-hour show about a suppressed nun discovering her sexuality includes unsimulated lesbian relation acts or scenes on the stage, sword swallowing, real blood, piercings, and gruesome injuries being inflicted live on stage. According to the report, the performance was so graphic. All right, I'm going to pull this away, guys, because there's some images here that we're going to use some wisdom here. The performance was so graphic that it left 18 audience members requiring medical treatment for nausea and shock over the first two performances in the German city of Stuttgart. I believe that's how you pronounce it. So even though this was not in America, don't think that we wouldn't promote stuff like this, because we do. We've got Grammy Awards where people are coming up worshiping Satan right on the platform. And even CBS said, they put out a tweet saying it's time to worship Satan. This is just in the open. It's right in your face, guys. The daring performer takes part in some of the show's riskiest stunts. At one point, she's dangling high above the stage completely in her birthday suit. In a biblical reenactment, she is handed an apple by another actress playing Eve and reaches out to actors below in an allusion to Michelangelo's The Creation of Man fresco. Again, so this has kind of got that Olympics vibe. Remember at the opening of the Olympics, that blasphemous scene that we're not going to go into a lot of details about it, but it was absolutely appalling. It was disgusting. It was blasphemous. There was so much outcry over this. That's what I'm saying, guys. Again, don't miss the point of this podcast today. Don't be sitting around scratching your head, wondering why we're seeing the world in the shape it's happening. And for people that think, well, God's just going to turn a blind eye. He's just going to sweep this under the rug. There's not going to be any repercussions of this. Guys, again, you don't know the Bible. If you make such statements, you're ignorant to the Word of God. In one particular scene, this lesbian dressed as Jesus comes up and spanks the behind of a semi-undressed nun. All right, where's all my Texas people at? If I've got some folks in Texas in the house, let me know in the chat below. This one's for you. A Texas family group plans to protest an event of all ages. Here we go. And it's a, quote, witch pride event. Let me say this again. Let me scroll down. This is from the ChristianPost.com. A pro-family group is warning parents about a sexual witch pride event in North Texas at a store whose owner is a self-described blood oath priestess of witchcraft. Texas Coalition for Kids, which is a nonprofit organization whose stated mission is to, quote, defend children against indoctrination, announced an upcoming protest targeting Higher Purpose Emporium in Fort Worth over its planned, quote, Pride 2024 costume party. This is going to be taking place on October 26th, which features a costume contest to celebrate the homosexual members of the witchy and pagan community. Nice. And includes a fun for the whole family segment. Earlier in the day, before transitioning to, quote, adults only after party in the evening. Let me say that again. In Texas, in Texas where, come on, where is the preachers in Texas speaking out against this? But yet we keep, it's like week after week after week, we report on these pastors in Texas falling into sexual immorality, infidelity, scandals, adultery. And it's like Texas, man, I mean, they're just rolling out in Texas. This is just horrible. Again, in Texas, this is an event that is called Pride 2024 Costume Party, where in which, again, it will feature a celebration of homosexual members of the witchy and pagan community. They have a fun for the whole family segment. Wonder what that's going to entail. And then the, quote, adults only after party in the evening. According to the report, these pride events are inherently sexual and should never be open for children to attend. The group made a statement saying, quote, there is no telling how disturbing this event will actually be, but we plan to be peacefully protesting it. One individual who is the owner of Higher Purpose and a practicing witch also goes by Rev Vitka Ivy posted a response to the planned protest of this event on social media, which she called a fascist cult and said, quote, having rainbows and letting queer youth exist is not sexualizing them. Oh, of course, because they've never done that before, right? She went on to write that, quote, I have a separate time for adults only pride after the time for kids. It's not at the same time. Clearly stated in the flyer, you fascists keep circulating. I'm not sure how you have this confused. Kids aren't even allowed at that part. The Post also warned the group that their members were not even welcome at Higher Purpose and threatened to contact authorities if need be, adding, quote, I have all your photos and we will have people looking to keep you out. I will call the police to remove you if need be. So they're threatening the protest group. According to, for a $30 fee, the website also offers a service called The Undoing, which promotes, quote, shedding one's baptism and involves the renouncing of your previous childhood religion. This is a big thing right now. So for $30, you can show up if you're a professed believer and you can perform one of these or partake of this shedding, which is, or called the undoing, which basically is renouncing your Christianity. You're undoing your professions of faith. You're turning your back on Christ completely. This is horrible, guys. The description of this event reads in part, quote, why do this? You may find yourself asking, simply put, these bonds we have with our childhood beliefs can become a detriment to us as we seek more and more wisdom from the, quote, universe. Typical language of a witch. So why are you, say, well, Brother Ricky, why are we talking about this again? Oh, let me refresh your memory. Why is God's hand a blessing? Why is his favor being lifted off our nation? Well, let's see. We're openly performing witchcraft, occultism. We are carrying out on stage in front of people, no shame, no fear of God, acts right there on the stage that were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the cities of the plains that were destroyed by God by fire and brimstone. We have celebrities and musicians that are up making anthems of abominations, again, that resulted in the judgment of God wiping out entire cities. So let me ask you this. Are you really surprised when you read a report like this? 3% of American high schoolers now identify as transgender. This is according to a First National survey. 3% of American high schoolers now identify as transgender. Now, if you remember, at one time, guys, this group of people was like a less than one percentile group of the entirety of America. But now about 3.3% of high school students identify as transgender. transgender, and another 2.2% are even questioning their gender identity. Now, gee, I wonder why that is. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the constant bombardment of propaganda. I'm sure it has nothing to do with this stuff being promoted in schools on a regular basis. Again, why? Because we've removed God. We've removed the Bible. We've removed prayer. We've removed all references of God completely. And we've laid out the welcome mat for all kinds of sexual, gender. And we've laid out the welcome mat for students, whether it be elementary, whether it be middle, or whether it be high school. It doesn't matter. They could be 5 years of age, and they're being allowed in these schools to transition to another gender. And even in some states where they're allowed to not even inform their parents that they're doing such a thing. So America, guys, is allowing this stuff to breed and to fester and to grow. And we wonder why we see these surveys like this. And God, and if you think this is, and if you think this is just merely propaganda as far as this survey goes, I can assure you it's not, because I know students personally who go to schools in multiple different states, because I have a network of pastors that I know. I have a network of individuals that I know, and their sons and their daughters have told me personally that if you go into their school, you will see a lot of these people. So again, in the schools today, in the public education arena, you can identify whatever you want. You can be a horse. You can be a cockroach. You can be multigender, non-gender. You can be whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can just get away with anything anymore. But God forbid you see something like this. A teacher has been blasted for writing Bible verses on a whiteboard. A high school teacher in Etowah, Alabama, has drawn the wrath of atheists following a video that was on TikTok where she filmed herself writing Bible verses on a whiteboard. Quote, by proselytizing students, this teacher has shown that she's willing to put her personal beliefs, which public school students may not share, before the rights of students and her constitutional obligations. This is from the FFRF co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor, said in a statement, quote, it is not a public school teacher's decision as to what, if any, gods their students worship. That is a decision solely for each family to make. Again, the Wisconsin-based atheist group is accusing this teacher of proselytizing and showing favoritism. However, there's nothing illegal about this, and the atheists know this. And this is what's infuriating them. So again, here's a woman, all hell's breaking loose because she wrote Bible verses on a whiteboard. But yet, again, look at the nonsense that is going on in our public education system. Meanwhile, another report came out citing that U.S. hospitals performed 14,000 child sex change procedures from the years 2019 to 2023. In a four-year span, over 14,000 child sex change procedures were done in U.S. hospitals. According to the report from FaithWire, the findings revealed that from 2019 to 2023, at least nearly 14,000 children underwent transgender-related procedures, costing some $119 million. Those procedures included puberty blockers, hormone therapies, and body-altering surgeries. Let me read this to you. I'm going to pull this up here so you can see this on the screen. In the United States, between 2019 and 2023, 13,994 minors underwent sex change treatments. It breaks down like this. 5,747 minors had sex change surgeries. 8,579 minors received hormones and puberty blockers. 62,682 sex change prescriptions were written for minors. Total submitted charges, 119,791,202. So you got all this going on. And then I know some of you are saying, well, Brother Ricky, at least the church is still standing strong. Are they though? Oh, there's a remnant. Yes, there's a remnant. But what about the majority? What are we seeing now that would have been unheard of in 30 or 40 years? Let me give you one last example, and then we're going to close out this night. We're going to close the podcast tonight. What if I told you that a pastor, you know, someone who shepherds the flock, whose sole obligation is to lead them in the way of Christ, teach them the word of God, disciple them, equip them. What if I told you not just any pastor, but a, quote, transgender pastor came out and claimed that the Bible, you know, the infallible word of God, wherein which Christ himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this word shall pass away till all things be fulfilled. He said, I'm the same yesterday and today and forevermore. This quote unquote transgender pastor claims the Bible was not written for 2024. Translation, he's telling us that this book, the Bible, is outdated. It's not culturally correct anymore. It's not relevant anymore. And you say, no way, Brother Ricky, that didn't happen, did it? Well, let's watch this.
We're back this morning with a new installment of our series, The State of Spirituality, with Lisa Ling, which highlights Americans on unique journeys of faith. Many traditional religions are trying to make progress toward being more inclusive of the LGBTQ plus community, but...
Stop. More faiths are making a point to be more inclusive to LGBT communities. In other words, translation, more churches are lowering the standard or completely removing the standard altogether and embracing lifestyles that God called an abomination. That's the translation. I'm just helping you out here. I'm giving you the translation of what he's saying here.
But for some groups, it's been a very slow journey on that front. Today, Lisa introduces us to a pastor in California who wouldn't be welcome to...
I know you're shocked, right? That he's from California. I know that just completely floored you that this pastor's from California. There he is.
Reach in many American churches.
Each player spins a spinner.
Drew Stever says his life is pretty average.
We play board games and we garden and we make art and we have to remind our kids 12 times to pick up the socks in their bedroom.
What?
He and his partner Hazel live in Southern California with their 3 kids and 2 dogs.
Hazel always tells me, like, I'm her boring white guy.
But you haven't always been a boring white guy.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you've not, because you're actually a girl. But anyway, let's go on.
Jesus is asking the people around him, where do you stand?
Stever is a transgender man, and he's also an ordained minister in the Evangelical
Lutheran Church in America.
Sad. Ordained minister. What? Ordained minister, doctrines of devils, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4, folks.
Stand on the side of fear and hate? Or do we stand on the side of curiosity and awe?
Listen to this statement. Let me rewind this because I want you to hear this.
In the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Do we stand on the side of fear and hate?
Do we stand on the side of fear and hate? Guess which side you would stand on? If you believe in the Bible, if you believe in the Bible, you believe what God said, you believe the Old Testament, you believe the writings of the Apostle Paul, read the book of Romans chapter 1, read 1 Corinthians. Guess what side you would be on? You would be on the, if you believe the words of Christ and you believe the words of the apostles, you would be on the side of hate and fear. You would be on the side of hate and fear. So what does he say? Well, we don't want to be on the side of hate and fear because after all, this is 2024, people. So we need to be on.
Or do we stand on the side of curiosity and awe?
Curiosity and awe. That's the side we got to be on, people. It's time for us. What did Kamala Harris said? We've got to be more woke. We're not woke enough. We got to be more woke, people.
Some Christian denominations have evolved to be more inclusive of the LGBTQ plus community, but the acceptance of trans clergy has been much slower. According to Pew Research, the majority...
Probably because it's not biblical. And it's an abomination to the Lord.
Majority of Christians still feel whether a person is a man or a woman is determined by their sex assigned at birth.
Well, that's assuring. At least 63% that were surveyed believe this.
Do you believe that the Lutheran Church is a safe place for queer people?
It is trying so hard.
In 2015, the Lutheran Church ordained its first trans priest. Trans clergy also serve in other denominations, but most still forbid LGBTQ plus clergy.
Because there are a lot of people who say that according to the Bible, God made man and woman.
And do you see his response? Yeah. You know, that pesky Bible, the pesky word of God. I know that's what God said, but remember, those are likely those people that stand on the side of hate and fear. They're not standing on the side of, what was it, awe and wonder?
And that couldn't be more clearly defined. How do you respond to them?
It's hard to relate it to modern day times because it wasn't written for 2024.
What? It was not written for 2024. And you're a pastor. Guys, this makes me furious. I know the Bible says be angry and sin not, but I feel I want to flip over some tables right here. I want to make a cord of whips. This guy, this woman is not qualified to be a pastor. She doesn't even know the word of God. I don't care what they identify as. Flag it all you want, YouTube, Google. I don't really care. I'm not going to back down from the word of God, who, by the way, whom this individual who calls himself a pastor and was ordained by this organization, this denomination, who allows this nonsense to take place, obviously doesn't even know the Bible. If you can't pass an elementary principle of God created man and woman, then you don't even need to be a pastor. But yet, this individual says, well, the Bible was not made for 2024. That's the answer. The Bible's not made for 2024. Wow, guys, unbelievable. Blasphemous statements like this.
It's written for then. When we read in the scripture that God created man and woman, yes, and God created...
No, there's no and. There's, yes, he created man and woman, and he created, come on, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the plants, the herbs, the trees, the vegetation, the stars, the sun, moon, and stars. He created all these things in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. There is no and. And what?
And everyone else.
Everyone else? Who's everyone else, dude? Who? Who's everyone else? I can obviously say dude because they identify as a dude. So nobody's going to get offended here. Who's everybody else? The aliens? The Nephilims? The angels? The seraphims? Who? If you're talking about a civilization of humanity, there is no everybody else.
As well.
Pastor Drew is a good pastor, and I think he... focuses on Jesus' commands that we should love God and love our neighbor as ourselves.
Of course. But we ripped out these pages from the Bible, like 1 Corinthians 5, like the scriptures, it says, do you not know that the ungodly shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither shall adulterers, neither shall fornicators, neither shall sodomites, neither shall homosexuals, and anyone else who and drunkards and idolaters and list all these things. And he says, and such were some of you to the church of Corinth, because they were practicing these lifestyles, but they were washed and cleansed and made whole. But oh, he's a good pastor because he just tickles our ears and he affirms whatever we want, whatever feels good, whatever we love to do, whatever we desire, whatever we claim to be and we relate to and we identify as. And he never judges us because our pastor serves a God of awe and wonder, not that pesky Old Testament, New Testament God, you know, the one that was written in the Bible that was before 2024, the one that judged Sodom and Gomorrah, the one that inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, to say that these things were written as examples unto us who would go in the same way and same manner.
At Stever's home church, Hope Lutheran in Hollywood, congregants told us when he says all are welcome, he really means it.
Yeah, of course, all are welcome. And guys, read that right there. All are welcome and all should be welcome to the house of God. But listen to me, the house of God should be welcome to prostitutes, to drunkards, to homosexuals, to all of these individuals should be welcome. That I don't have a problem with that. But when you get to the house of God, what's being preached behind that pulpit should be a transformation message, come on, of repentance and turning from your sins and wicked ways and turning from this perverse and idolatrous generation and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming a new creation in Christ, and the old has passed away and behold, all things have become new. But that's not what this flyer is entailing here. This, my friends, it is an example of where in which Jesus said, wide and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many be that go into it. Many be. All are welcome. You can come as you are and remain as you are, remain in your sin and die in your sin, and you'll go to hell. That's the reality of it. This is absolutely tragic.
You just bring such a light in life and just encapsulates everything we've always believed in learning to really spread a message that is just love.
So guys, I know this is a lot to take in. Your head's probably spinning. But guys, if you're like me, if you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, there's no way you could have sat through this 1 hour tonight of this podcast and you not be grieved and vexed in your spirit. There's no way you should be like Lot. The Bible says that he was vexed by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked that he both saw and hear in the cities of the plains in which he lived in. This is the world that we live in. And it's not just America, it's the world. And Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. I've got good news and I've got bad news to close this podcast with. Let me start with the bad news first. The bad news is, in the time of Noah, the whole earth eventually was corrupt and wicked and evil and full of violence, and thus it brought the judgment of God in the form of a flood that wiped out the earth. Howbeit, 8 souls were saved that were found righteous in God's sight. In the days of Lot, the entire cities of the plains were completely taken over. Again, you can go to the book of Ezekiel, and it tells you these are the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it names these sins, and they consist of the fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness. They did not extend their hand to the poor. Come on, they were full of pride and sexual immorality. These 5 sins gripped the cities of the plains, and God put up with it for a certain time. And eventually The judgment of God came because the cup of iniquity of God's wrath became full, and it was poured out in the form of fire and brimstone. And again, I can take you to the New Testament, and it says that these things were written for our admonition. Excuse me. These things were written for our admonition, that if we go in the way of the past, we are destined to repeat the past. So the bad news is, guys, I believe America is ripe for even greater and severe judgments far beyond. And I believe what we've seen in the last month or so is just a preview of what's coming. Fires, floods, disasters, famines, plagues, all of the above. And we ain't even got to the election yet. This is why it is absolutely imperative that we keep praying, we keep fasting, and we keep seeking the face of God, because it starts with the church, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Now the good news. The good news is twofold. One, there's always a remnant. Never forget this. No matter how bad it gets, how ugly it gets, how wicked it gets, how evil it gets out there, there is always a remnant. In fact, why don't you just type that up right there in the chat? If you can, type in "there is always a remnant," or just type in "remnant." You need to remind yourself, there was a remnant in Noah's day. Come on, somebody. There was a remnant in Lot's day. There's always a remnant. And that's the hope that I have. That's the hope that we should have, because the remnant, come on, is the restrainer. The remnant is the true blood-bought, standard-keeping, covenant-keeping, unadulterated, devil-stomping, anointed church of the living God that has not capitulated. They haven't compromised, but they're standing strong. They are the restraining force that is holding all hell from breaking loose. I'm just telling you, the last restraining entity to be held back is the Antichrist. I base that out of Thessalonians. And it says, when he who now restrains is taken out of the way, then he will be revealed in his time. And it's talking about the son of the man of perdition, the son of perdition, the Antichrist will be revealed. So again, the bad news is it's only going to get worse, because this nation's going to get more wicked, more evil, and more, we're doing things right in the sight of men, and there's no fear of God, shaking our fists, blaspheming the God of heaven, storing ourselves. Romans chapter 1 says, storing up for ourselves the wrath of God on the day of judgment. But the good news, there's a remnant. There's a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled remnant that is still praying, that is still seeking, that is still fasting, that is still turning from their sins and wicked ways. And because of that remnant, I believe that we're still able. We still have that window of opportunity, just like this tonight, to proclaim the good news, to proclaim the gospel, and to tell a generation, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. Turn from this wicked and perverse generation and put your faith and your trust in a living Messiah, a living God, Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven unto men into which we must be saved, but that is the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, if you missed it last night on Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we had an amazing time of prayer. I'm telling you, the anointing was strong. The power of God was present. I believe people got touched. It was a powerful time of prayer. And again, if you don't know about this, every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on YouTube, we have a live prayer session. We'd love for you to be a part of this. All you got to do is come over to YouTube, subscribe and be a part of this YouTube channel, and you could be a part of those live prayer sessions. And again, guys, if you don't have a free app, we want to encourage you to get it today. Again, it's available on Apple and Android stores. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. This is how you're going to keep on all of our podcasts, all of our breaking news, all of our prophecy messages. Everything's going to be right there at the app at your fingertips. And we would love for you to keep up with our ministry. Again, be sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And listen, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it edifies, it equips, it informs, it warns, it exhorts, all of the above. There is ways that you can support our ministry. We'd love for you to partner with us. If this is your home church, be just honor the Lord in with your finances. That's between you and the Lord. Again, we don't manipulate. We don't twist your arm. Again, everything we do is free, and we are a partner-based supported ministry. You can do that electronically, multiple ways, the website, the app. There is, if you're watching this live on YouTube, in the comment section, there's a link that's pinned at the top where it says support in big bold letters. That's also in the chat, pinned up the top. That's an easy way. You can just click there. Or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. We will likely be back here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for our main show. And if we have any news that we feel that we need to get out to you, that information, be looking for that. That'll be in the morning, probably around 11 a.m., somewhere between 11 and 2 p.m., 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern. We've been doing a lot of those lately, those little quick segments. So until we see you guys on the next one, we love you. We're praying for you. We pray the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.